Good morning. I'm Marilyn King. I've only been in the church for a short while, 72 years to be exact. I love this place and I love everyone that comes. Today we're going to read scripture from Exodus, starting in chapter 19, verse 3. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens, or on the earth, or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we are created in the image of God, amen? And some reason God created us with the ability to judge what God does, or what God's mission is. We call it the study of God, or theology. And I don't know what you grew up with, who you thought God was, or what you thought his mission was. Maybe you thought, growing up as a child, that God's mission was like this, someone looking over your shoulder, waiting for you to sin. Ah, don't do that. Don't do that. Maybe you thought God was an angry little child with a magnifying glass and we were ants on a molehill and he was trying to catch us out. Maybe you think the mission of God is that the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl today. Let me hear it. Chiefs, let me see who thinks the Chiefs are going to win. Three people. Who thinks the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win? Yeah, I think we know where that's going. My name is Keith Arkham, by the way, and if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to in the lobby after service. We're on week 3 of our series, Invitation. Jesus was always about inviting us into a relationship. He never hit us over the head with a Bible and said, "Hey, get down here and become in a relationship with me." It was always about inviting. And we started Brian Russell's study a couple of weeks ago, Invitation, and it's all about how God is inviting us to a relationship with him. The first week we had Brian Russell come speak and talk about our GPS system and what should always be in our GPS. Last week we talked about how we are created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. And this week I want to invite you into what God's mission is. What is the mission of God? What is your mission? Maybe you have a mission that you're on right now. Maybe there was something when you were younger, when you were a child, or in your 20s and your 30s, and you were like, "This is my mission. I know exactly what I'm to do. I'm going to put all my energy, all my resources, everything that I have into this one mission, and this is the thing that's going to drive me. Sometimes I get distracted. Sometimes I get distracted by what my mission should be, what I should invest all my energy into, all of my resources. Yesterday, a friend of mine, I seen his bike, and I said, "That is a nice-looking bike." And I looked at the bike, I was like, "I could do with that." He says, "Yeah, I'm selling it." "How much are you selling it for?" $19,000. It's a bike. There's no motor in it. It's a bike. And often we get distracted about what our mission is. My mission was confirmed in me when I was 22 years old. A young man had been walking with us in our fellowship group when I was in the middle of the ocean when I was served in the Navy. And we had a small fellowship group that was meeting together to talk about who Jesus was and what the Bible was to us, the ones that we just gave out. And he got involved with our group, and Dave Gator, he wanted to be involved, but he couldn't do it at sea as well as he could at home with his family. And he would go walking with us and be in fellowship with us, and one day he said to me, "I don't know what to do, Keith." And I says, "Well, you know, you got to make a decision at one point. You're either going to follow him all the time, or you're not going to follow Jesus at all. Well, pick one." And I left it at that. I didn't think anything about it. We got home from being at sea for a long time around the Caribbean, and we came home. We had 2 weeks leave. I hadn't seen him for a while, and he came back to me and stopped me in the middle of the passageway. It's like moving from here into the lobby. It was the main drag of the ship. And he said to me, "Keith, I got something to say to you." He says, I made a commitment to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus from now on. Yay! And from that moment on, I knew what my mission was. I got tingles down my spine. My blood started to flow faster. I had a strange warming of the heart. I knew from that moment on, all of my resources, all of my energy, everything that I ever had was going to be about that mission and that alone. I've been doing it for 30 years. And this was confirmed to me this week on Wednesday. At 10 o'clock on Wednesday at an average Christian school in the middle of Wilmore, Kentucky, which anyone ever been to Wilmore, Kentucky? Yeah, there's nothing much there. Asbury University is there, and across the street is my seminary, Asbury Theological Seminary. At Asbury University on Wednesday, just like many other Christian colleges, just like our school here on a Wednesday, they have chapel at 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, they had chapel, and Zach spoke. He was very, very thorough. He was able to connect with the students. He talked about how when he was a kid, he heard about this love of God that wasn't necessarily love, and he was treated poorly. And he was able to be transparent with the students that were there. That started at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, people stuck around for prayer and more worship. And some more people came in, and they stuck around for prayer and worship. And it went on all night till the next day. The next day, people heard that something was happening at Asbury University, and they got in their cars and drove 3 hours to Wilmore to be a part of this thing that was going on. It happened again the next day on Friday. It happened yesterday. Instead of going to the mall, to Disney World, to anywhere else that young people go, these people are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, instead of doing that kind of thing, guess where they went? To Hughes Chapel in Asbury, in Wilmore, Kentucky, because they wanted to hear from God, and they want to hear something new and vital going on in their lives, amen? Never before have I been so encouraged in my mission. Started on Wednesday, and it's still going this morning. Praise God indeed. Praise God indeed. Other campuses and other colleges are coming to Asbury. Look it up on Instagram, just Asbury University. People are meeting in droves, coming from across the country, that they might experience more of God too. This stuff is real. This stuff is authentic. It is about people crying out to God. One woman stood up who was being mean to everybody on campus, young girl, and said to each of the people in the campus, "I'm so sorry if I have hurt you. I'm so sorry if I've been mean to you and looked down on you. You see, I come from a family of both my mother and father have addictions to alcohol, and it hurt me. I'm so sorry." And she was down at the altar, and people were praying over her because of what was going on in her life. And there's many other testimony. And this has reinvigorated me. This has reinvigorated my mission and who God is to me and the mission of God to us. You're lucky I'm here this morning. I was going to go to Kentucky. But I want you to know this mission of God. Do you want to know the mission of God? Say it loud. Amen. Amen. The mission of God is found succinctly in our Old Testament, what Marilyn read to you. And in Exodus 19 is where we find from the very beginning who God is and what he wants for his people. Exodus 19, 3 and 6 is the foundational text for us as followers of Jesus, because Moses wanted to hear from God. He goes up the mountain in verse 3. You guys can open your Bibles, chapter 19 of Exodus. In the beginning, it's the second book of your Bible. If you got it on your phone, pull it up there too. That's fine. Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to everybody. You've seen what I've done. You did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant." Three really important words. We're going to stop there. Three really important words for the future of Israel and those who are going to be adopted into Israel, which is us. Keep my commandments. You shall keep them and obey them. Obey and keep. Now, the Hebrew words are really fun for this, yeah? I know you don't all speak Hebrew. We don't think it's a good idea to speak Hebrew. But the Hebrew word for obey is shema. And then the Hebrew word for keep is shema. So it's like the writer is trying to help us to remember what God is trying to say. You shall shema, shema. You shall shema, shema, my covenant. That's the third important word. Shema, shema, and covenant. You shall keep and obey. That word shema means keep, obey, hold on to. And so does obey. It means observe, be careful to look at what you are doing with my covenant. I want to talk about the covenant in a minute. But those three words are really important. That's what God said to Moses. Shema, shema. You will be what? My special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. So it goes up and down Sinai, big old mountain, talking to God. And God's mission is to communicate this to the people. He wants them to be what? A priest, a holy nation, a vessel, a vehicle to communicate God's love. And how are they going to do this? They don't know what to do. They just got through the Red Sea. In fact, God has to remind them, by the way, remember 2 months ago, it was me that delivered you out of land. Remember, you walked through on dry land and Miriam sang a song at the end with the tambourine and you guys were all rejoicing. Remember that? Did you forget? Sometimes we need reminding who God is for us, don't we? And I was reminded this week how important God is to my life and my mission, not the 19 grand bike. God is your mission, okay? It's like God saying to me, this is it. This is it. And I hear testimony, 18 and 19-year-olds saying, we just want to be open and invite everybody in. We want everybody else to experience this too. People who are broken and hurting heard something new of God. And God reminded them and reminded the old folk too of who God is and what he wants for our life. God says, Moses, go tell the people this. So he goes up and down the mountain, and he goes up, tells them a few things, and then we get to the Decalogue. We get to the place where God gives the Ten Commandments. These are the instructions. This is the covenant. This is the place where we hear about who God is. So verse 2 of chapter 20. Verse 2 of chapter 20 says this, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. He had to remind them again. He had to remind them and say, by the way, I'm the same God, not the other God, not the shiny thing that distracts you, not the other thing that can give you instant gratification, but me, Yahweh, the one who delivered you through the Red Sea. It's me. It's me speaking. So that's our locator. That's the reference point that says, this is our God, the God that we all worship and agree on. The first thing he says is, you must have no other God before me. Yeah, God is a jealous God. He wants us to have no other gods. We've got some other easy fix gods that we go to make us feel happy and give us a bit of a dopamine injection. We've got some little things that give us instant gratification. But God says, I don't want you to put your trust in those things. You shall have no other gods before me. Pretty exclusive. Yahweh, my God. And then in verse 4, he goes on to say, kind of like expounds on having no God. He says, you must not take for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth and the sea. You must not bow down to bicycles in worship. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will tolerate your affection, will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailingly love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Don't make for yourself shiny things. In fact, you can make for yourself shiny things. You can make for your things that will get you instant gratification, but it probably won't get you very far. It probably won't give you the kind of joy that I can give you. In fact, if you make for yourself an idol and set it up, it's probably going to distract you from what's really important in life. And in fact, the choices that you make impact your family and your extended family around you. Amen? He says, this is going to affect your whole family. Talks about how it's going to affect the family for thousands and thousands of generations, and that's another topic for another day. But what he does say is, if you follow me, I will lavish blessings on your family and on your extended family, and you will know a great life for the thousands of generations. He says, don't have any idols, things that distract you from my attention. One could argue that the things that distract our attention right now are notifications on our cell phones, right? Like, why am I looking at this? Why don't I even pick this thing up, you know? Now it counts how many times that you pick your phone up, you know, and it gives you like a report of what you're spending most times on the cell phone. One could argue that the cell phone has become the biggest distraction and biggest idol of our lives. One of the kids' testimonies, he was 19 years old, and David had him on, the leader of Seedbed, he had him on, and he says, so David, tell us about what's happening here at Wilmore, and tell us, like, you know, how are you understanding God? And he says, oh, I heard the president sent out an email to all the campus, tell them how amazing it is, and to tell the professors to invite the students to where the revivals happen in Hughes Auditorium, as opposed to going to class. And the kid that was speaking says, I didn't see that email because I didn't look at my phone for 8 hours. Who looks at their phone not more than 8 hours? I didn't look at my phone for 8 hours because I was so in the presence of God. I was worshiping God. I was leading others in worship. I was showing other people. People were sharing testimony. And that was so much more fun and so much more important than looking at my phone and checking on my Instagram status. Verse 7 says, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you use his name. Now, this is way more than profanity. This is way more than swearing and saying Jesus Christ as a swear word. This is actually denying Jesus or God is at work in your life. This is denying that God created your body, that God created you to be in community with each other. This is denying that you can fix it all yourself. I am a self-made person. I mean, in fact, when we do this, when we think we've figured everything out ourselves, our own health, our own worth, the things that we've got, the things that we've purchased, actually, our mental health starts to get affected. Our emotional health starts to get, our relationships with people get affected because we're placing more priority on things that are not what God would want us to keep our eyes fixed on. He says, don't misuse the name of the Lord. Don't say that I haven't been at work in your life. So that's our first four verses of the Ten Commandments. The fifth one talks about, the fourth one talks about Sabbath and how to keep the day holy. You guys are doing that. The fifth one talks about our relationship to our parents and how important that is. And then the next five, we get into this place where we probably have a bad image of what the mission of God is. Because we get into the do not section, right? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Don't. And we get into the place where we have this awareness, especially from our upbringing as children, that there's, in order to be a follower of Christ, there are some things we should not do. And we've had whole movements come out of trying to keep ourselves holy, trying to keep ourselves looking okay on the outside, but lots of stuff going on the inside. So today, we're going to flip the commandments. We're going to look at these five that you know, and we're going to talk about how we can change them for you to live your life better. I've got a slide for you here, and we're going to say these things. So verse 13, I'm going to read the first bit, and you guys are going to read the second bit after the arrow. Hopefully you can see that. I'm sorry. Here we go. You must not murder. Sound good, right? You shall bring life wherever you go. Here's verse 14. This is a classic. You must not commit adultery. You shall be faithful in your number one primary relationship. If you don't know where that is, look at the top of your phone, the last call you just did. Verse 15, you must not steal. If you can give, give. Give to people that are in need. Give to those people who are right in front of you. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female, servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. You shall yearn for a relationship with God more. You shall yearn for a relationship with God more. Shema it. Obey it. Keep it. And this keeps us in a right relationship with God. You don't check them off. Got it. Hey, there's more to do even after this. God has a mission. God's mission is you. God's mission is you all the way at the back. God's mission is you. God's mission is that you would be in a right relationship with Him. It's always been about you. God is not out to get you. He's not looking over your shoulder looking at what sin you're doing. He's not a mean kid on an anthill, trying to like catch you out kind of thing wherever you're going. God's mission is not that the Kansas City Chiefs should win this afternoon. It's not that the other one, Eagles, would win either. God's mission is that you would follow Him and obey Him. And when we do that, like these students we're seeing up in Asbury, when we desire to follow Him, when we really want a life-changing relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes afresh and anew. The Holy Spirit comes afresh and anew and pours on campuses, on humble little usatorium with wooden seats. Comes to children and youth who are in dire need of something authentic in life. And it comes to me and to you. God's mission all the way through the Bible has been that you would know a life-changing relationship with Him. And He's the reason we are here today. In Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank You that we are Your mission. Thank You, Lord, that it's always been about You wanting relationship with us. Father, help us to be excited by the ministry coming out of Asbury. Help us to be excited by the revival coming out of that area in Kentucky. Help us, Lord, to foster and lead children into a right relationship with You. Help us read the Bible at night to our children and grandchildren, nephews and nieces. Help us, God, to put that at the beginning of our mission. Help us not to get confused. Help us, Lord, to be Your people on mission, listening, obeying. We ask this all in Your precious and powerful name, and everybody said, amen.